of the Patriots. It is the president of the Patriots, Jonathan Kraft, as we go inside the owner's box. Jonathan, how are you, and welcome back from the bye week.
Yeah, thanks. Nice to be here. It was nice to have Sunday off, too, two Sundays in a row to sit and watch all the NFL stuff. It was great.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that I learned over the past 2 weeks is, and you'll probably call me on this in a week, I'm not going to bitch about Belichick that much at all, because the thing of it is we could second-guess the team around here, and we do. It's what we do. It's New England. You grew up here. You know the deal. We complain about everything. But when you watch it, you see what other teams have done with adversity compared to what this guy has done. It's not even close, Jonathan. It's not even close.
He's pretty unique. To me, and I tell people this all the time, I think back to what happened in the 2007 season, that first week down at the Jets, and it's just hard to describe when the world was coming down on us week three, week four, and you would look at Bill in the hallway, and he was no different than Bill Belichick in, you know, week eight of some other normal season. And I think he teaches that to the players. There's no emotional highs, there's no emotional lows. It's what's coming up that day on the schedule, and the only opponent is the next opponent, and if there's outside noise, you block it out, and he lives it. And I think he's a classic example of leadership. He lives what he preaches. You see so many leaders in this world who are hypocrites, and Bill is exactly what he is, and I think the players feed off of that, and the fact that he's had so much success as a coach gives him that aura of credibility. But he really is as level and even-keeled as you see, and if you pay attention to the noise, it's going to bring you down, and if you focus on what your job is and you do your job, we can have success, and that's what he's about. So if we've faced adversity, and I don't know that we've really faced that much more than other people, but when we do face it, I think that really helps us get through.
Well, there's a couple of things within that, Jonathan. I think number one, you got real leaders on your football team who condition guys on, number one, taking care of themselves on the bye, but number two, coming back and getting back to work and knowing that you've had your fun, now it's serious. And it always seems like the Patriots have a bye right around the time of Thanksgiving where, all right, now it's time to really press on the accelerator. So not only is there an element of that with Bill, but I think there's an element of that with the leaders, you know, even though he's not playing, like Gerard, like Vince, like Brady, like Mankins, to where they set the tone for these guys going into the bye and coming out of the bye, and then get you moving in the right direction.
Right. Well, for a couple points. First is we have been lucky, certainly the last 4 or 5 years, I think. It seems like our bye has fallen right in the middle of the season, and obviously that's a great time to have the bye from a lot of perspectives. And so you love to have it then. You hate to have it, I think, week three, week four. It's too early in the year. And end of October to middle of November seems to be the perfect time to have it. And Bill tells the guys to go and to get away for a few days and clear their heads and not go too crazy and come back ready to work. In terms of the veterans in the locker room, and you bring up Gerard and Vince as a couple of great examples, they're obviously both out for the year. I think on other teams or in other situations, when guys like that who are established veterans and have signed a contract and have some money and maybe have family or homes in other places, they check out for the year. Gerard and Vince have been in the building constantly. They're in the dining room, they're in the locker room, they're maintaining that veteran leadership and presence on the team, which is definitely welcome from everybody there. You know, Vince is the ultimate leader. Gerard leads in a different way, but a very powerful and effective way. And I think they both live and breathe that motto of do your job, block out the noise, be professional, and stay focused. And Bill Bill's just done a really nice job of bringing guys in like that, and they certainly help him preach that credo that we talked about, and it's paid dividends.
Well, one of the things that I've observed, Jonathan, over the years with the Patriots is that Bill coaches so they will peak at the right time, or at least that's the game plan. I mean, not, you know, no season is ever perfect. I've especially witnessed it during Super Bowls and during the playoffs, where he gets them to be ready at the right time. So you don't peak too soon, you don't peak too late. And I think it's the same thing with the season, you know, because, hey, November, that's the Patriots' time of year. December, that's the Patriots' time of year. Where in September, a lot of the times we're freaking out because something didn't go right or whatever. But Bill's thinking long-term, and he's thinking end of the year. And that all ties into the bye week. It's how he manipulates the emotion of the team. And while he gets a lot of credit for the X's and O's and being the defensive guru, he understands the psyche of his team. I mean, it's really amazing, and I think it's something that he's underrated. I don't think people realize it as much as they should.
Gary, I think it's a pretty astute point. If people don't believe that Bill doesn't, in his mind, if not on paper, have a script for the season, and you don't know who's going to get hurt, and you don't know all the machinations of an NFL season, but a progression building to something and how he wants to see things develop and what players you want to give an opportunity to in September and October so that they're there for you and have some experience as you come down the stretch and have the depth that you need and the confidence that you need from guys that might have to come in and play for you and how your offense and your defense is going to develop from a scheme perspective. That maybe some teams don't play that way. Maybe some teams come into the season in September saying this is it. I think you're right about Bill, and I think he's not only exceptional at managing, building his talent towards the back half of the year, but he's also very good at not letting the emotions of an NFL season become a drain before the season even gets halfway over. And I think there is a logical progression to what he does, and he's a real student of it. He's a scientist, and his science is the mental and emotional aspect of this game and how it builds over a 6-7 month period.
You know, Jonathan, we had to look back as to when the last time these two teams met. It was 09 when it was the NFC South Divisional crossover like you've got this year. And then, of course, we all remember the Super Bowl. And the guy at quarterback that day was more Brett Favre than the guy who's got the mantle there in Cam Newton. I think it's going to be interesting, number one, from a Patriot fan perspective, to see how the other half lives in terms of the new age kind of quarterback versus the traditional drop back guy in Brady, but also big picture. And the goal is to win, I understand, but from a league perspective, it's a pretty good night for the league. A franchise who's high profile like the Patriots against a team that, you know, hit some bumps early in the year and has one of the more dynamic, unique offensive players in a guy like Cam Newton.
Cam Newton walked by me as he was walking out on the field, and the thickness of his body looks like a linebacker. It's unbelievable. If you didn't see his number and his name, you could look at his body type and think he's a linebacker. And you've watched him run, and you've watched him throw the ball, and he's just an athletic wizard. It's unbelievable. I was watching him take his snaps out here, and it's the exact opposite of Tommy in terms of what he is as a player. I think, obviously, I'm very partial to Tommy, and at the end of the day, I believe that a guy who can sit in the pocket and read defenses and knows how to move in the pocket over the long run is going to be the most effective answer at quarterback. That being said, as somebody that loves sports and athletics, to look at a guy like Cam Newton and really marvel at the fact that somebody with that type of physique is able to go out there and do what he does both mentally and physically is impressive, and I can't wait to watch him play tonight. I hope he doesn't perform well, but I'm really looking forward to watching him play, and hopefully he's not as dynamic as Delhomme was back in Houston in the Super Bowl, because that won't be good, but it's going to be fun to see him play in person. And I'll tell you, just when you're watching on TV, there's an awful lot of Patriot fans in the house here tonight, which is also really cool to see. I'm looking up behind our bench, and I can literally see hundreds of Patriot jerseys, which if any of them are listening, thank you. That means a lot.
Well, I mean, Zoe said to us so much for the blackout, I think, down there, because the Patriots fans, they travel well. Carolina's a good game to travel to. Monday night, good weather, you know, so it's a good take for the fans. Jonathan, we didn't have a chance to talk about this because of the bye week, but I don't know if the league has talked to other owners or other teams. I know you can't comment on the Miami Dolphins because that's a team issue regarding Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito in the locker room bullying. Has there been any discussion amongst ownership or amongst the league on the challenges that this could create down the road?
Clearly, there's a ton of issues that come out of it. I think the one thing I can say is hopefully this gives a platform and a profile to the seriousness of bullying in general, which we know has become a bigger and bigger issue in this country, especially with cyberbullying and teenage kids. And hopefully that's the one good thing, however this whole situation works out, that if it can happen to, and I guess we don't know what happened, but allegedly happened in an NFL locker room, hopefully teenage kids and younger college-age kids won't feel so alone when and if it happens to them. And when people see something like that, they'll speak out. So that's the one, I think, positive that's come out of this. As a league, we, other than the commissioner sending out a memo to all of us explaining what this independent investigator is going to do, there really hasn't been any communication. My sense would be that at the next league meeting, which is taking place in a couple weeks, there'll be a little bit of discussion about it, and then in March, when all of the details are known, and I assume steps have been taken to address whatever is found, then there'll be a larger discussion about it. But clearly, it's not a good situation, and I think the only positive is the one I talked about at the front end of this.
Agreed, Jonathan. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again next week, and we got a little, I know you're worried about this game, but it's going to be a good week for talk radio. We'll just say that.
Yep, absolutely. It's
okay.
Good to talk
right,
to you
Jonathan.
Guys.
Thanks, Jonathan.
All right,
we'll
take care. We'll see you later.